Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good Thursday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan. We'll take you all the way up to 6:30. You can listen to us all over the DMV on 106.7. Of course, stream us coast to coast on the Odyssey app. If you're in Richmond, we're on AM 910, FM 105.1. And we are streaming in high-definition video because we're too handsome for just radio.
That's right.
The 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. What's up, Danny?
How you doing, my friend? We're in this like little snap where it's this area does a, we'll give you a teaser trailer of the season that's coming, right? It's going to get back warmer again, but like we're now doing like, this is a bitter, cold January, frosty winter type situation before it rains and gets back warmer again. But it's weird to me, man, that I always fall for it. You know what I mean? Like I'm always like 2 days late. I know you never check the weather at all and just sort of hope that you're right when you get dressed.
I just realized as you were doing your daily thing where you opened the show talking about the weather, I was just realizing if you gave me $1 million, I couldn't tell you what it's like outside right now.
Yeah.
I was only outside for like 23 steps at any point. I left the house. I got in the car.
In the car.
I parked. I walked to a new establishment. I walked back out. I got here. I don't remember being uncomfortable or cold at all. I'm in a hoodie and jeans. So if you told me it's 22 degrees today, I think I would have noticed that. If I had to guess, I'd say it's like 57 degrees. Is that about right?
No, it's about 40-something, but it's like frosty and wet. Like it's like the nebulous wetness that this area has for whatever reason. It just annoys me.
Extremes definitely interest me. I need to know about that, if it's really cold or really hot.
But if it's within a range, you're mostly fine.
I'm Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
We do not care. Can I wear hoodie and jeans and not be inconvenienced? Or, more importantly, can I wear khaki shorts and a polo shirt and be comfortable? That's kind of the sweet spot. That's where I want to be. I always said with the late, still tragically, French Bulldog Fiona, who I miss dearly, I always would say this is French Bulldog weather. She hated going for walks if it was over 65. Like even at room temperature.
That's a little much for her.
The idea of taking a walk. She was a lot like me in that way.
Uh-huh.
But if it was somewhere between like 48 and 63 degrees, that's French Bulldog weather. And I think I'm a French Bulldog in that way. That's my will.
You got a little something there, right?
What crossover. You would consider to be football weather. So today, I think, qualifies.
Yes.
This is the dream. Give me a light jacket. I'm not really team quarter zip like your team quarter zip, but I like team quarter zip. Give me jeans or give me death. I think that's what...
I think that was Patrick Henry's
was
quote.
Once said, yeah.
Yeah, that was the famous...
But hoodie weather, man, it was built for me and you. So we're there. We did it. How about last night at the Capital One Arena?
Were there some goals scored there?
Caps Oilers. Beautiful. Ryan Leonard goal. He had two really nice
I was going
nice
to say,
goals.
Which one? There were two.
This was what we dreamed about with Ryan Leonard, by the way. This is why he's the next big thing for the Washington Capitals. That game last night. And speaking of next big things for the Capitals, my future captain, Tom Wilson, who was blocking shots and giving up his body on the defensive end with a couple of empty netters, well-earned. The boys are starting to come around a little bit. I think, ultimately, the injury to Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to be a killer, and it's just going to add up that on these nights like tonight where you're playing back-to-backs, you're going to have a hard time stacking pennies. But they're playing a lot better, and it's been more entertaining to watch here very recently. So, last night was fun. Another goal for Ovi. He scored in three straight, four of his last five.
Ho-hum.
He's doing Alex Ovechkin things. Whatever was happening for those 10 games where they just look like not the Capitals, seems like we've gotten out of that rut.
That's hopefully the case, because you know you could pick and choose a sample here where they lost. I think it was 6 out of 7. Now, but the most recent samples, they've won 3 out of 5, lost 1 in a shootout where they played much better. The only bad one in there is at Florida as part of a really, really challenging trip. But I'll certainly take that, right, where you're getting points in 4 out of 5 games. They've kind of turned a corner a little bit. I like when teams are able to win multiple kinds of games. So we talk about this with hockey all the time. They had the 2-1 game down. They could do that. But if it's a more offensive game opened up, it's like we don't have the horses. Last night went a long way towards maybe assuaging some of that, right? I mean, listen, Edmonton defensively is like you, me, Darius, Ryan, and Toby going out there skating at times. But still, doing that, winning one of those shootouts, winning one of those, greatest show on turf games that Rams-Chiefs came from a couple years ago, winning one of those is good too.
It's about basically getting points. They got points in 4 out of 5, so happy with that. By the way, I got a question before we move on. When did it become a thing, young people, that there's this trend where teams put their name on a hat upside down and backwards? The Capitals are selling a hat that says Capitals upside down and backwards. And I got one last night. Someone gave it to me. I didn't buy it. It was red and white. It's a good-looking hat. And if it said Capitals frontwards and right side up, it would be an awesome hat. But because it's backwards and upside down, for the fun of this trend, whatever's going on, and because I wanted to talk about it on the radio, I grabbed one and I gave it to my kid, and he'll wear it or he won't. I don't know. But I added it to the collection. But I Googled it, and I guess it started with some random team I'd never heard of in some random league I'm not familiar with in 2020. And it was based on COVID and the world, quote-unquote, being upside down. And so this team thought it was funny to just, as a bit, put its team name on its hat upside down and backwards. And apparently now, most sports, most teams, all the major teams, sell this merch. I think you can get T-shirts and hoodies and whatever you want with your name backwards, which when I originally saw it, I said, oh, that's a selfie thing. So like if you take a picture of yourself, and it says Capitals backwards, maybe it shows up correctly on the photo.
Yeah, my first thought was it's like an ambulance around behind you, right? So that, oh, okay, now I know it's an ambulance. I need to make sure that we're all safe.
But it's also upside down. Doesn't get to get flipped by the camera.
I don't get that.
And everyone just kept saying to me, oh, it's a trend. Why?
I'll wait for that one to pass too.
First of all, why? And second, is it? Also, if it was a trend in 2020, why are we doing it now in 2025? Is it that slow of a trend? Are we on trend? Or are we a little late to the party? Should we maybe have just said, we missed that one, we'll try for the next one?
Yeah, so you used to make fun of me a lot. I was about your age when I started doing this, because we've been doing the show together for a while, where I would see something and I'd go, I don't get it. This is so stupid. I'm mad at this. And you're like, oh, you're so old and stupid, and I hate your face, and don't shave or wear a hat to work because I'll make fun of you. It was the whole thing.
I don't remember saying anything like that.
Yeah, just to me. You remember, you couldn't do the show once with me because I shaved. So let's always remember that.
Oh, you had a lot of face there.
Yeah, how dare I shave that time? Yeah. I won't do it again. I'm sorry to offend. But I've been there. My point is I've been there. You have crossed the Rubicon. You've crossed the threshold. You are now on the bad side. You're on the downhill, okay, where you're going to realize – you don't know what anyone's talking about. You don't understand anything. Nothing is for you anymore. The things that are coming out, the things that are new, the trends, the it, the now, not for you. None of it. Not some of it. None of it. No one's got you in mind. And I'm not talking about you, Grant Paulson, like in your needs and wants.
But kind of.
But it's sort of that once you reach a certain age, and it differs for other people, they try so hard to hang on. Like you can be the 37-year-old club goer. But
different
for the most
strokes
part,
for different folks like Angelina and Brad.
But for the most part, everything that happens now, you're going to be like, why? That's so stupid. Welcome. Plenty of room.
Yeah. You don't get to claim me, I don't think, just yet, in that your neighborhood is still a few streets up.
Same zip code, though.
We might be in the same zip code.
We're in the same zip code.
But you don't get to have me just yet.
You're going to ask, what realtor did you use? Because it's not the same set of blocks, but it's close by. She probably knows the area.
I already know you use Sarah and Denny Reynolds.
Oh, thank you.
I've heard about that a couple times.
Indeed.
But I don't know, Hootier. Upside down and backwards, that one, we could let that one pass.
Sure.
I think.
It's dumb.
Just great word, capitals, facing forwards.
Just so you could read it.
And even maybe if you want to go backwards because everyone takes selfies so it looks better on your photo, I don't like that, but if you're a selfie person, maybe you would, and you can do that. It's the backwards part with the upside down part.
It makes it impossible.
Makes it not make any sense.
Yeah.
I want to get into Thursday night football tonight. The Bills are playing the Texans under the lights in Houston. Buffalo is 7-3 and chasing the New England Patriots in the AFC East. Houston has won 2 in a row, 3 of 4. Davis Mills took over as starter and helped get their season back on track after the concussion to C.J. Stroud. If the Texans can beat the Bills tonight, they'd be over 500 for the first time all year. They started 0-3. They were 2-4 at one point in time. They've got the Colts and the Chiefs in the next 2 weeks, so they could really use one tonight. If they lose all three of these games, they'll be underdogs in, and they don't pull off any upsets. Bills at home, and then in Indianapolis next week at 1, at Kansas City and Arrowhead for a Sunday night football game the week after. They're going to be 5-8 with 4 to play. And even if you run the table at that point, you're probably not making the playoffs. They're going to have to steal one of these next three to get in as a wild card. I guess it's possible the Patriots could collapse. And, you know, a couple of other teams, if Buffalo were to get hot, and maybe, you know, 9-8 could get you in a down AFC. But I'm thinking it's going to take 10, and tonight is critical for them. Really, really good Thursday night game.
Houston's defense is championship caliber. We don't talk about it because they're not 9-2 like the Broncos. They've given up more than 20 points in only 2 of their 10 games. They've played some good offenses, too. It's not just they've gotten to play Tennessee a bunch of times. They're good on that side of the ball. Offensively, it is a challenge with C.J. Stroud, without C.J. Stroud. Just has not looked right. They can't get going there. It has been a huge struggle. But that's their formula. And over the next couple of games, against, as you mentioned, Buffalo on the road against the Colts and the Chiefs. The Chiefs were desperate in their own right, by the way. They need to start ripping off some wins. We're running out of time for the Chiefs to be the Chiefs, and just kind of we assume they're going somewhere because of the track record. But they're 5-5, and they've got a difficult schedule coming up in their own right, so they need to start harvesting some nuts.
So I actually want to look at the Buffalo side of this for a second, because the Bills at 7-3, being a game and a half back of New England, who still hasn't had a bye, 9-2, are still a Super Bowl contender, in my opinion, in the AFC. They've had some bad losses. They've just 2 weeks ago got bludgeoned by a bad Dolphins team that we just saw play Washington and Madrid. They lost by 17. They got shut out for three quarters in that game. But even though all three of their losses have come in the last 5 weeks, and two of them are against non-playoff teams in Atlanta and Miami, I still think, as flawed as they are, bad defense, you got Josh Allen, you got a program that makes the playoffs every year, you get to the postseason, you could rip off some wins and get to the Super Bowl. Would you file them into legitimate Super Bowl contender category?
Yes, they were my preseason pick to win it for the first time in their history. And there have been a few moments where you go, huh, maybe I'm not so sure anymore, where they've had, as you mentioned, losing to the Patriots, now we know, isn't as shameful as you thought. They lost by a field goal in that game. The Falcons drubbing, where they were the second-best team on that field by a lot, and that Dolphins one, to your point, you kind of question it. But to me, their ceiling is still as high as anybody's. When that offense is right, where they just give it to Josh Allen, you saw what they did against Tampa. Unbelievable.
James Cook, when he's running it well, is a difference-making elite running back. He's averaging well over 5 yards per carry, and he's closing in on 1,000. In fact, he'll surpass 1,000 yards tonight, has 7 rushing touchdowns. Allen has 10 rushing touchdowns, and that's not Jalen Hurts from a half yard away tush-push stuff. That's running people over, coming downhill, oftentimes from 10, 12, 14 yards out, and sometimes high red. But he's got 350 rushing yards, to your point. So they're going to run the ball with those two guys. Ray Davis, who's a little bit of a thumper. They'll get some gun runs to Ty Johnson, and they'll throw it to their backs out of the backfield, too. The problem they're going to have is, A, bad defense, and B, the receiver room, which everyone had questions about, is not good. Keon Coleman's not playing again. He's their number two wide receiver in catches this year with 32. He's been benched the last two games. We're not really sure why, but it sounds like he shows up to things late and isn't taking things seriously.
Disciplinary stuff, yeah.
They're just trying to basically get him to walk the straight and narrow. But in the meantime, it's tight ends. It's, you know, when Dalton Kincaid's healthy and Dawson Knox is healthy, and he hasn't been for the duration of the year. Same with Kincaid. Those guys have both missed some time. But Khalil Shakir, with 46 catches, is the one receiver who's been moderately consistent, and he's on pace to have number three wide receiver production as their number one guy. That's a big, big problem for them. Do they have enough for Josh Allen, even if he's elevating everybody and dragging them into the fight? to beat good teams in the playoffs. I don't think they do. I liked the Bills as a true Super Bowl contender going into the year. They are still one because they've got an MVP at quarterback, but they're not going to get to the Super Bowl, I don't think. At this point, I'd be really surprised. I just don't think they're good enough. You got to be great offensively to overcome their defense, which is a bottom 7-8 group in the league. I don't think they're explosive enough in the passing game.
They haven't been. I mean, you look at some of the numbers, though, in some of these huge offensive performances. 41 in the comeback win against the Ravens, 40 against Carolina, 44 against Tampa Bay. And it's a Josh make everybody good situation, because you're 100% right about receiver. They miss Diggs, who's kind of on another act now with New England, where he sort of looks the part again. Whether that's sustainable or not, I don't know. But they don't have a number one option. To me, them being a contender revolves around Keon Coleman figuring it out. Not being putting up Jerry Rice type numbers or something like that. I don't expect him to be Randy Moss, but just a viable option. Because right now, it's Shakir is basically gimmick stuff, right? It's a lot of the Deebo Samuel coastal line of scrimmage, catch a little the act type stuff, and pick routes and rubs and bubble screens and things like that, just to get the ball in his hand, just to get it outside of Josh Allen for a while. But it's basically Allen run around, make magic right now. And you can do that for a couple of games, I feel like, in the postseason.
They shouldn't be missing Diggs. I mean, he wasn't on their team last year either, remember? He was on the Houston Texans. It's been 2 years.
What I meant was just like someone to take that role,
which
they haven't had.
But my point is, I understand what you mean. You've had enough time to solve that.
They should have, yeah.
You've had two drafts and two free agencies. Like what they've done at receivers, malpractice with an MVP caliber quarterback.
Agreed.
Knowing what you've got to be to get where you want to go. How many other true Super Bowl contenders are there then with the Bills right now, in your opinion? If we both agree that Buffalo is one, even though I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, on a binary, are they a legit last team standing club based solely on Josh Allen? I'm going to say yes.
I think they are.
So let's look at that division. New England's 9-2. Everybody says they've played nobody, which is fair. But the two teams that they have played that are good, Buffalo and Tampa Bay, they've won both of those games. And Drake May is right there with Matt Stafford as the top two MVP odds getters among quarterbacks. I still would say they're not Super Bowl caliber, though. And I think they are a bit of a paper tiger in terms of who they've played.
I'm really impressed with them, but I don't put them in that category yet. And it's probably not fair. I mean, I'm giving Buffalo the benefit of the doubt, not based on what I've seen for the most part, just because it's Josh Allen and they've been knocking on the door for a few years. And New England hasn't done it yet, although they've ripped off 8 straight.
The Patriots will be a pain in the ass to play in the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
I promise you they're
well coached. Defensively, they're really good. They don't get much credit for it, but they're a pain in the ass.
They can run the ball. May makes plays with his feet on third down. I know everyone likes to belittle their strength of schedule, and they should. They haven't played anybody. But their offense, and specific to the quarterback, who's ascending in year two, I think I saw that they have had the sixth hardest schedule as far as the defenses that they've played this year. So in terms of like the numbers he's putting up as an MVP candidate, those are well-earned. You know, even the bad teams, you think about the Saints, top 10 defense, the Browns, with Schwartz calling plays. Like, that's a good defense, terrible organization, terrible team. But their offense has actually kind of earned their footing a little bit. But I'm going to say only the Bills out of the East. AFC North, the Steelers are not Super Bowl caliber in any capacity. They are, by the way, plus 14 in net scoring. That's it this season.
Unreal.
They've been outgained in a bunch of wins. They're on pace this year, again, to borderline be outscored with a winning record. What about Baltimore? I would say no to them at 5-5.
Before the season, I thought they would be. I thought they'd be in the AFC title game. No, I just don't see it. There's something that's off this year with them. I know that Jackson's been in and out of the lineup. I know he's been hurt. But defensively, they've been so terrible. And the offense, even with him, just doesn't seem to be clicking. I don't know what's going on. It just sort of seems maybe the voices are stale. Something doesn't feel right. The operation isn't there in Baltimore. I still think they win that division, but that's as far as I'll go.
Their defense has been a lot better lately.
Lately it has, yeah.
Last four games out of the bye week, 16 points is about what they've been giving up. That's what they gave up to Chicago. They held Ben Johnson and the Bears down. They gave up 6 to the Miami Dolphins, beat them by 22. They shoved it on the Ravens. And then this past week, Shador Sanders went 4-for-16 passing in the second half of that game. They shut out the Browns after halftime to get a win. Pitching, a zero-pointer for two quarters. Like, that defense is humming right now. But I'm with you. It's not passing the eye test. Are the Colts, an 8-2 first-place team, a Super Bowl contender?
Yes. Again, this is against all my better judgment, but at a certain point, you don't get to deny reality anymore. They lead the league in point differential. They're plus 115. They've been incredible. They are really, really good. Again, one of their losses was as fluky as anything that's ever happened, because a guy dropped the ball before he crossed the goal line. They're the most complete team in the NFL. I know the Daniel Jones corollary. I'm terrified of it too. But at a certain point, you turn in enough sample. When are we supposed to take you seriously? Yeah, my answer is now.
You have to say yes right now. I think you could revisit this in a month and maybe it feels different. They play the Chiefs and the Seahawks in the next four. Those are going to be revealing games after a game they should have lost to Atlanta and a game they did lose to Pittsburgh with Jones turning the ball over a bunch over his last couple of starts. It does feel like they're coming back to the pack a little bit, so maybe that changes. But for the moment, as you said, both sides of the ball playing at a high enough level, they're a Super Bowl contender. I'm going to put the Chiefs as a yes, even though they're not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you have Mahomes? Do you have Reed? Do you have Kelsey? Then you're not dead.
Would I want to play you in the playoffs? The answer is no. That's a contender.
The Chargers, I'm saying no. They're just too inconsistent, too banged up. I think you have to say yes to the Broncos.
I do too.
Even though their offense is gross and Bo Nix is going to go two quarters at a time where he's inept. He's going to make some big boy throws and make a play or two with his feet. He's an athlete. Kind of got some early career Russell Wilson stuff going on there, I think. And it's just the best defense in the league. That is a championship level D.
Those are the words, championship level D. And I heard Aaron Schatz talking about this. Sean Payton has too much good offensive track record in his career for the offense to be this bad. And I understand it's November and we've got 11 games and we should have a pretty good sample of who you are. I just feel like he's going to figure something out, right? He did last year. They struggled for a while. Bo Nix got going. I have too much trust in Payton as an offensive mind for them to be this bad into January. But so I have them as a contender.
So we have four teams in the AFC with Buffalo, Indy, and then two in the West. How about the NFC? The Eagles are an easy one, yes.
Yep.
In the North, the Bears are leading the division at 7-3, but they're -6 in scoring.
So no for me.
Their defense just gave up 40-plus to the Bengals a couple weeks ago. I say no. Green Bay?
No for me.
They've been schizophrenic. I'm going to say yes to the Packers. I think their good is really, really good. And yes, I totally get that if they were to lose by 11 in the playoffs right now to like Detroit, it wouldn't surprise anybody. But I'll tell you what, man. Jordan Love in the fourth quarter against the Giants blew me away with some legit stud throws.
That's what he does, yeah.
He is scintillating. I'll say yes to Green Bay. Detroit?
I still say yes on Detroit. I'm being stubborn about that.
Why wouldn't you?
I think once... If there's any health, if a couple guys come back and they're able to play some modicum of defense, as long as they don't have to play the Eagles again, but just offensively, there's too much firepower. The ceiling is too high. I've still got them as a yes.
I say no to the Bucs, who are +2 in net scoring right now.
Agree there.
Basically a wash. But I'll give you two teams out of the West. I'm saying no to San Francisco. They could get hot and get rolling as they get healthier, and maybe I'll feel different going into the playoffs. But right now, that does not look like a team that can win multiple road playoff games with Brock Purdy. But I'll go Rams, yes. Seahawks, yes. I still think Seattle's the most complete team in the league. I know they just lost to L.A. The Rams are in the running for most complete team in the league. Stafford could win MVP. So I'll go with both of those teams out of the West.
Rams, yes. Seahawks, yes. I'm going to say yes to the 49ers. They're doing this without anybody healthy, and as they start to maybe get guys healthy back, they'll have won a bunch of games. I know their schedule's soft. They're kind of the NFC's version of the Patriots. If they end up with 11 or 12 wins or whatever, it'll be a little bit empty, but you still, that's a great coach. That's a fast enough defense with a couple plays to be made here and there and an offense with a couple stars. I think they could.
As an example, the Rams have 18 more touchdowns than their opponents, and the Seahawks have 11 more than they've allowed. San Francisco's -2 in touchdowns scored this season, for and against. Just not in the same weight class. I get what you're arguing is they haven't been at full health. I just don't know that they're ever going to be.
Yeah, injured teams don't get uninjured.
And there's still a lot of football left, which just means a lot more injuries coming for them, it feels
true.
Like. Grant and Danny on the Fan. All right, next, there's a controversy brewing in a Northern Virginia neighborhood that we wanted to weigh in on. You're locked into Grant and Danny.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30. We've got Wizards tickets for one of our listeners. You can win those at 4 ahead of the Beltway Blitz today. So there's this story that is dividing workplaces all over the DMV. Everybody's arguing at the water cooler about this one. In Fairfax, Virginia, in a neighborhood in a Fairfax County spot named Greenbrier, a house that had looked very normal and it kind of fit in with all the other houses.
That's a key point, by the way.
Is getting a lot bigger. So what happened was these people have decided to build an extension onto their home. And they're not just doing your normal extension. They're going up three levels as if it's some gigantic building. And imagine, it's not a Lego neighborhood where the houses are like 10 feet apart with little alleys, but in this non-HOA neighborhood where you don't need a whole lot of permission other than just stay on your property. That's kind of the rule. Do what you want, but stay on your property. They're technically allowed to build whatever they want to. So they've got this monstrosity that's a three-story, very tall, long addition to this home that looks completely out of place and ridiculous that you can see from several streets over.
Not only that, but it basically abuts, if that's even a the appropriate word, the next door neighbor's driveway, property line, etc. If you had a mile in either direction, you build what you build, but everybody's right there. This woman who lives next door to this guy, and we have some more key details to fill in, went from having sunlight to none. Went from having a window that looked outside that you would, of course, see your neighbor's house, but you could see other things. You now can't see anything. Imagine you had an apartment building where you bought a condo, and then they built another apartment building 7 feet from your window, and the only thing you see now is a wall.
On their property, not yours.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, it's insane. So, Michael Wynn is the gentleman's name, who went through all the approval processes and is not violating any laws, right? So he got his approvals, which, by the way, insane failure. Whoever said yes, fired immediately and apologize in written form and in public, like, flog yourself a couple times.
Well, here's the problem, I think, with that, though, is without knowing the details of the paperwork that was done, this isn't an HOA. So, yes, you need approval to build things, but you're basing it on law, essentially. You're basing it on what is and is not allowed. And if there's nothing on the books that says on your property you can't do X, then it's a really hard case to make against these people. But this is the news story from ABC7 News on Your Side discussing what's going on in this Greenbrier neighborhood in Fairfax, Virginia.
This one-story home is where Chris Leonard and his wife live, and this home next door belongs to three generations of the Wynn family. What's got a lot of folks talking is the size of the addition being built to the Wynn's home right here.
This is the most hideous thing I've ever seen in this neighborhood.
Wanda Mitchell grew up in Greenbrier and says she's never seen anything like this. Her mother is an original homeowner from 1968 and still lives here.
Oh, it's hideous. It should never be allowed in this community.
Homeowner Mike Wynn says he's building the addition because his home is too small for the three generations that live here.
Asian culture, we tend to stay with have our parents stay with us, so we can take care of them when they get older. We don't send them to the nursing home.
Is it hideous? Yes. Is it a nuisance? Absolutely. Is it selfish? Totally. But there's no HOA. They're not violating any rules. So this is one of those where it's a pain in the ass and it looks gross and you just kind of have to wear it.
Right. So the idea, though, is, or a couple things on this. You heard in the clip, the owner of the home says, we want to have room for our grandparents. They can be close to their grandkids and we want to have them live with us. All very reasonable things to want to do, by the way. Do those things. The idea that the only possible solution for that is to build a 30-foot high, 60-foot long monstrosity. That's the only place they could possibly live? I bet you could put another bedroom on the back of the house and no one would notice. I bet you could put a small little separate house towards the back of the property line. I bet you there's a bunch of creative solutions that aren't an enormous 30 by 60, three-floored situation. You want those old folks waddling up to the top floor when they're puttering around in their 80s and 90s?
I'm assuming there's going to be an elevator.
There's plenty of room for multiple elevators. Yeah. Which wing? East wing, north wing, south wing? It is insane. Here's what I care about the most.
Well, can I ask a question
Please,
first, though?
Yeah.
I mean, because it seems like you're acknowledging that they're allowed to do this. Because a lot of people are yelling that basically this thing should be torn down. Like, the rules are the rules.
Right.
What they're doing is ridiculous, yes. And I agree that it is ugly, and if I was a neighbor, I'd be furious. But this is the downside, I guess, and I use that word very lightly, because I hate HOAs.
Oh, the HOA loves to involve itself in stuff.
I am not a fan of HOAs. Everywhere I've ever lived, I've paid HOA fees, and I'm been a part of it.
Here's the argument for the HOA right here.
I dream about living in a neighborhood where there's no HOA, but there's not a lot of oversight in this situation.
Right. So the permit you, anybody that's ever tried to add an addition or build stuff, even if you don't have an HOA, you still have to go through and get county permits. For example, if I'm like, you know what I want to do is, I'm just making this up, it's stupid, but I want to build a catapult in my front yard. Let me make sure that I can do that. And then the permit office will go, no, for a lot of reasons, you can't do that. You can't build a structure this close to this or that close to that. So they're reviewing it again now because it's a monstrosity, but because it's too close to their next door neighbor's property line. You can't have a structure
It'd
that
funny if they
close.
Have to move it over 6 feet to the left
yeah,
or something. But,
you know, yeah, which who knows? Yeah, but if you just back off about 7-8 inches, you'd be just fine. And now you can keep your monstrosity.
That's a huge amount of inches.
That's an enormous, I mean, who could deal with something like that? But the point of the dude's story is the idea of, well, they didn't violate any rules. This is the most selfish,
yes,
insane, everyone should be furious at this person all the time actions.
Yeah, what do you do to this neighbor? And I think you stop short of, like, you're not harassing them.
Nope.
You're not throwing eggs at their house. But how do you let them know that everyone else in this community can't stand you now?
I don't know. And I would push the boundaries. I would tell you that. Like, you have now, if you're on the next door neighbor, you have ruined my experience in this neighborhood. Quite literally, that's not hyperbolic.
And there's not a whole lot worse legally you can do than making my home a place I don't like.
Yeah.
At a time where interest rates have skyrocketed and I probably, you know, am screwed if I've got to go buy a house.
Do I have to do a showing on my current house? Do I have to sell my current one? How's that going to go?
How
does that go?
That's such a good point.
How does the showing go?
You just lost tens of thousands of dollars on your home because someone that when I was selling my townhouse several years ago, I knew because I was backed up to Telegraph Road a little bit through a tree line. It wasn't loud, but it was close enough, even with the fence, that it was going to be an issue.
Yep.
Some houses have things. You know, you're near the road, or you don't have this, or there's not a metro nearby.
What's the address? 3212? Well, that's 3210. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Look at the size of that thing. We're leaving.
You just added a thing. You know, it is now harder to sell because there is a Great Wall of Fairfax next to you.
This isn't and eventually you're going to have to do some septic maintenance, or at some point, some of these windows are older. You'll call Window Nation a few years after you move in. No, 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 no. This has ruined the neighborhood, ruined the next door. And again, so a lot of neighbors will pretend it's something else, but it's the aesthetic, right? They get mad when something looks stupid and a monstrosity or whatever. I don't care about that near as much. Like, there are paint colors. There's a million things that I don't prefer that any millions of neighbors that I've had over the years have had. I'm sure there are things about me they can't stand. Like, if you leave your lawn unkept or this stupid flower that they grow every year attracts the deer. That's annoying because they traipse through my yard. There's a million little persnickety things that happen in neighborhoods. That's all normal and that's all above board and that's all fine. Well, those disputes will be forever in time in memoriam. This selfish, horrendous, obnoxious act by this horse's ass is unforgivable. And I don't know what I would do, but I would push the boundaries. I'm not trying to be a tough guy thing. Like, this is insane. This is insane.
What would be a creative way to get back at your neighbor if they did this? That's what I want to pose. At 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I've got an idea as to what I would do. That legally you do something that would annoy them back, so to speak. But then you just get in a tit for tat, and is it really worth it? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
A home in Northern Virginia is being expanded. 30 by 60, monstrous expansion in a tight neighborhood, houses close together, completely unlike anything else in the neighborhood, and frankly, just not the design of what it's supposed to look like. I don't mean it doesn't match HOA style. I mean, from streets over, you can see this monstrosity that's three times bigger than any house.
It looks like a bunch of shipping crates stacked on top of each other. And then, you know, stacked five or six deep, three 10 by 10 by 20, whatever the stupid things are. And right now, construction has stopped. The county has ordered it stopped. They're not going forward. Who knows what's going to happen at this point, if it gets approved, if it doesn't get approved, but it went up very quickly.
I would, frankly, get over this very, very fast. Now, if I was their direct neighbor next door, it would sting a lot more because I think I lost immense value on selling my home. And if it was really bad for my mental health and I cared a lot and every time I saw it, I wanted to go over and yell at them, then I would just have to move and take a bath financially on the sale or whatever and keep it moving. But if I did live anywhere else other than right next to them, and it's just annoying to drive past and to know that it's in my neighborhood, I really wouldn't care that much. I would think it's selfish and ridiculous, but that would kind of be the extent of it. But as a way to have fun here, you were talking about wanting to get even with them and being annoyed, and we want to come up with some ideas on what you could possibly do in a situation like this with neighbors. Here's the best I came up with. I looked up what animals you're allowed to have, exotic animals, in Virginia. I would 1,000% just use this as an opportunity to get a little petting zoo in my backyard for my kids or whatever. And then right up against their tree line, the line of their property, as close as I could put it to their home, we're doing the loudest possible animals you can find. We're doing chickens. We're doing alpaca. We're doing anything that you're allowed. Like, we're going to have some snakes in crates back there and cages. Just all the animals, right next to them, right up on the house as close as we can do it. I think that would be a pretty good way to be. If you're trying to be Bryce or Richard or Kyle,
yeah,
that's a pretty good way to be petty.
That's a good beginning. My issue, of course, is that I have to deal with those animals, and it's, you know, as much or more inconvenience for me.
Well, if you don't want an inconvenience or putting in more work, then you just get over it.
Well, that's totally true. But yeah, I mean, mostly because I don't want snakes anywhere near anything. But I see your point. I mean, my first thought.
Get some eggs in the morning from the chickens.
I suppose. My first thought, of course, is to go full Sopranos when the guy wouldn't give him his Tony Soprano his deposit back. That at all hours, you turn on really loud music and really loud whatevers, right? And you blast it right at them. And then the instant they, you know, call or say something, you turn it off when appropriate authorities come, but you do it from just far enough that it's, you know, facing them and not you. And you just have to let them know every second of every day, I'm going to bother you as often as humanly possible because you did this to me. And I will never let it go until you tear this stupid thing down because you've ruined everything.
I actually do think, knowing you like I do, you would never get over it,
no,
by the way.
I would never get over this.
So if I'm their direct neighbor, I would have a conversation with them when they started building it, like, Frank, what's wrong? What are you thinking?
Yeah, what are you doing here?
What are you doing, bud? And then we'd have this conversation. Probably lead to like 10 or 12 more. I'm going to HOA, maybe the whatever authority there is. I'm going to go to the end of the earth to try to stop it because it's ruining my home value and everything else. But when it happens, it's over. I don't know if I'm inviting them over for the cookout. You know, when we get together as a neighborhood, they're probably not getting an invitation in their mailbox. But otherwise, I'm kind of moving on.
I'll give you an idea. In our backyard, behind our garage, we built a sport court that used to be this mulchy, you know, tree stump, weed-filled nothingness. And now it's a place for kids to play. I use it, of course, whatever. But to all of our neighbors, we wrote an individual letter addressed to each one, like went and spoke to them. If there's any problem at any point, please do not hesitate, right? I had one thing already with a neighbor where we had to make sure that some of the rain runoff wasn't, you know, because of the new structure headed towards his yard. And it took great pains to make sure that it wasn't happening because imposing on other people is wrong. And everyone just now assumes that you can just do it.
Yes.
I have my own noble, selfish goal, so I can impose. You cannot. Otherwise, we collapse.
We were talking about imposition before the show because I can't believe, I think it's generational, but the generation below us, if you're in your mid-20s, you ask people to take you to or pick you up from the airport. I can't imagine ever asking someone to take me to or pick me up from the airport. Unless you are my better half, my wife or girlfriend, my lover, I would never ask someone to do that. Uber exists. Taxis exist. Metro exists. That is an insane imposition. It's a ridiculous thing. Especially early hours, late hours, what have you. But really at any time during the workday, can you pick me up from the airport? No, grown up, get an Uber. But you're right. Imposition has just become the norm now. Let's go to Bill in Manassas. What's up, Bill? Okay, Bill.
I'm here.
Are you?
Hey.
Doesn't seem like it.
I just want to thank you guys for taking my call.
Yeah, buddy.
And then number two, I hope that... can you guys understand the complexities of this whole situation? Dude has a right, and I get that we could be, I don't know.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Good call, Bill.
I have more pace. I need more pace.
I got the right, Bill, to walk up and do this in your face. Should I, Bill? Is it complex, or is it simple and selfish? I bet you it's the latter. I don't care that you're within your rights to do a lot of things. You don't do it because of human decency, Bill. Complicated.
Why are you so mad at Bill?
Because Bill didn't really care about our thing. He cursed once and then went, I hope you understand the complexities. Hard to hear from your high horse, slow-talking guy. This is a simple issue. It's a simple thing. One person selfish, everyone else has to deal with it. That's the story. Look it up.
Why is Danny so angry at Bill? What the hell did Bill do? I mean, he did talk way too slowly and hit the brakes on the show, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it seems like you're too upset at Bill. I like Bill. Bill, thank you for calling. That was nice of you. You want to hop in, 800-636-1067. Guess what the Bengals are doing with Joe Burrow? They're going to play their quarterback.
What?
Even though he gets hurt a lot, even though they're not making the playoffs. You know why? Because football players play football.
Here we go.
Let's get into that on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.